Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And as we say, we're seeing this powerful book, which we're calling the foundational book of the New Testament. We see truths dealing with sin and salvation and Christian life and Israel and the church and practical application for living out our lives. We've moved to the application part of this letter. In fact, chapters 1 through 11 deal with doctrine and teaching and information. Then chapters 12 through 16, that's practical application. It's behaving. For the last several weeks, we have been seeing the great charge at the beginning of the section. This is foundational. It's the foundational charge to all believers. If we're going to make an impact for Jesus Christ while we're on this earth, we have to look at this charge. And the charge, simply put, is offer our lives as living sacrifices. Offer our lives as living sacrifices to God. As we continue this morning, we're going to look at how we function in the body. How we see that our relationships to other believers and how we view them and how we're to serve God. And we're going to think about spiritual gifts and all kinds of things. And the plan is we're going to see how it all fits together. You know, teamwork is so important. It's in everything. Especially, let's think about sports. I mean, you think about OSU football and last fall, great teamwork. Went to the Cotton Bowl. We think about OSU basketball and just fantastic teamwork, how they played together and went all the way to the Final Four. And then I think of OSU wrestling, which, of course, I love. And they just won the national championship. And it, great teamwork as they all work together. And you think about what just happened here with that group and all of them with different parts and different voices and different musical instruments and everything. And teamwork, and it all comes together to work and to function. We realize teamwork is important in everything, whether it's a job or work or home or whatever it is. We realize that the same is true when we think about the body of Christ. That in fulfilling the ministry that God has given to us, there must be teamwork. The body of Christ must function as a team. God has placed all the members in the body. There's one body with many members, all unique, all special, all feeding together, working together, using our gifts, talents, and abilities to function, given to us by God to fulfill the ministry that He has. Ephesians 4:12 says that each one has been given spiritual gifts to do the work of the ministry, to equip the saints so the whole body of Christ can be built up. Ephesians 4:16 says that the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body. Now think about what he just said, the proper working of each individual part. This morning, we want to continue, as we continue, of course, our study of Romans, we're going to see teamwork, the body of Christ. And think about each one of you, because every one of you that have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're in the body of Christ, and you have a great privilege and responsibility as part of the body of Christ to function, in a sense, as a team. One body, many members, all having different functions and parts, all working together, and may each one of us in this local church use our gifts, our talents, our abilities to work together and fulfill the ministry that God has for us. We've seen so much in these last few weeks. In fact, we move from the doctrinal teaching part, which is the first 11 chapters, to the practical application part, which is basically chapters 12 through 16. We want to live out who we are in these chapters. And this morning, we want to think about teamwork in the body of Christ. As we begin, let me remind you of what we've just seen. We have started chapter 12 with the great charge. Probably the greatest charge of all, because Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you may know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's 1 and 2. That's the great charge that we have seen. It's very powerful. Now, I want you to think about what he says. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beg you, brethren. He is urging believers. And he says this, based on the mercies of God, all that God has done for us, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to present your lives as living sacrifices to God. I want you to take your lives and I want you to say to God, God, I want to give you my life in service. We're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift. We're talking about service. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices to God. It's acceptable to Him. It's pleasing to Him. This is the logical thing to do. And then in verse 2, he says, and stop being conformed to this world. Stop being shaped by this world. And the truth is, you don't have to do anything to be shaped by this world. This is going to naturally happen. You're going to have to do something to not be shaped by this world. And so he says, stop being shaped by this world, but be transformed, changed from the inside out. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's putting the Word of God in your brain. That's studying the Word of God. That's meditating on the Word of God. That's memorizing the Word of God. That's applying the Word of God. That's what we're to do. So he says, listen, I beg you. Offer your lives to God. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed, changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. That's a powerful statement. This is the foundational truth of the Christian life. This is the key for each one of us in this room if we're going to make an impact for Christ while we're on this earth. The question sometimes is asked, why do some people grow and some people don't grow? Why is it some people go into maturity and grow as Christians and some don't? This is the foundational truth on why they don't. When you come to a realization in your life, you've trusted in Christ your Savior, and you come to the realization that you want your life to count for Jesus, that you want from this moment on to say, I want my life to count for you. I'm no longer going to be shaped by this world, but I'm going to be changed by the Word of God. I'm going to grow. I'm going to know it. I'm going to live it out in my life, and I'm going to be a different person. You're going to grow as a Christian, and you're going to make an impact for Christ. So if you want to make an impact for Christ, you're going to have to come to this point where you say unto God, I want my life to count for you. That's the charge. That's the foundational truth. You know, there's two decisions. We talked about it last time. In fact, we've talked about it many times, but I want you to make sure you understand it. Two big decisions. The first decision is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It costs you absolutely nothing. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for sin, to be buried and rise again, and whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. He offers it as a gift. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room have already trusted Jesus as your Savior. There is the second decision, though, that as a believer, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to make an impact for Christ or not? Are you going to say, God, I want you to take my life and I'm going to give you my life for service? It's going to cost you. Now, being a Christian costs you absolutely nothing. It's a gift. Being a servant of Jesus Christ costs you your life. And so, as I said a while ago, I hope and pray that every one of you not only have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, but I pray that every one of you will make that decision to say, God, I want my life to count. As I said last time, you will never be the same if you do that. You will never be the same. You know, when you study the Bible, you have to make choices. Now, you can go be entertained anywhere. But to study the Word of God means you're going to have to make choices. You're going to have to respond to the Bible. And that means with your life, you're going to have to make choices. And it's not easy. Because the choice that we brought up last week and we mentioned again today is, what will you do with your life? Will you say to God, I have already believed in Jesus as my Savior. I know I have eternal life. Now I am choosing to live for you. There are other things as we go through the Bible. It takes decisions and it's cost you. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharpening to its sword and goes right to the heart of the issue. Well, from this, from verses 1 and 2, the charge, Paul then deals, he talks about the body of Christ. He then deals about relationships. How do we function in the body, in the church of Christ? One body, many members, working together, serving together. How does it all function? Well, let me give you, first of all, we got an outline for our study this morning. We're going to look at verses chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And really, we're not going to get all that this morning. We're going to really spend most of our time this morning on verses 3, 4, and 5. We'll touch on verse 6. 2 weeks from today, because next week is Easter, and we're going to be dealing with the resurrection of Christ and the great truths there. We'll come back to this 2 weeks from now, and we'll really get in verses 6, 7, and 8. So there's two parts to it. First, he talks about our relationship to one another, verses 3 through 5. The one of the key words, and we're going to see it, not necessarily in this verse, but the concept is humility, and we're going to talk about that. One body, many members, as we work together. Then we're going to talk about using our spiritual gifts, and in verses 6, 7, and 8, he lists a number of gifts. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and how they fit together. What are the gifts and what do they do and how do we function? We'll see a little bit of that this morning. So that's what we're going to look at this week and the next time that we look at this. We want to understand how the body fits together, our relationship one to another, and our service for God as we seek to live for Him and make an impact. Now, here's the truth. That as we begin this section, we need to understand the truth that most of you know what I know, but let me remind you of this. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are placed in the body of Christ. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, that when He died and rose again to a new life, the church is the body of Christ. He said that when on the day of Pentecost, He sent the Holy Spirit, it takes the believers and places us in Christ. If you go back to Romans chapter 6, it talked about that we are in union with Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. And so here's a truth that's sometimes a little hard to understand, but when you believe in Jesus, you are placed in Christ. Paul uses the term 55 times in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Philippians 3:9, and being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which comes by faith. So what we see is the truth is whenever you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're all placed in the body of Christ. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, and he talks about the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we're the body, and he uses all these different analogies. But the truth is you are placed in Christ. That's incredible truth. Now, with that in mind, there's one body, but many members. That means all of us who have trusted in Jesus, we're all placed in the body of Christ. All of us with different, unique people. Now, Paul wants to talk about how we view one another in the body of Christ. And there is a word that stands out. We won't see it in this passage, but we'll see it somewhere else. But it's taught in this passage, and that word is humility. Watch what he says. As we relate to one another in the body, we have to realize, number one, we need each other, and each one is important within the body of Christ. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Now, Paul starts off by saying, "By through the grace given to me." Now, he's saying, by the grace of God, I get to give this information out. By the grace of God, Paul would say, I get to be an apostle, I get to write letters, I get to do ministry. That's what he's saying. If you look at Paul's life, Paul would say that at a point in time in his life, he was contrary to God, he persecuted the church of God, he was going different, he didn't believe in Jesus, but by the grace of God, God saved him, set him apart, and is actually using him. Did you know that every one of us in this room could say exactly the same thing? That by the grace of God, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now he's made us alive in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual gifts. We're in the body of Christ. We get to serve God. That's the grace of God. So Paul says, by through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you. Now he's speaking, of course, to the church at Rome, but we can make application. We can say, what is he talking about here? What is he saying? Look what he says to us. I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. This is the whole issue of pride and humility. He says not think that we're better than others around us. He's dealing with relationships within the body. And he says, don't be people of pride. Be people of humility. That's the key. How do you look at other people in the body of Christ? We are not to lift up ourselves. We are to lift up others. When you look at other people, there are people who say, well, you know, I do this and I do this and they don't do this and they don't do this. That's, we cannot look at each other in that way. Paul reminds us that we relate to each other in the body of Christ, that the emphasis is not on ourselves, but on others. Each one in this room is unique, special, gifted, has talents, abilities, spiritual gifts from God. We are placed in this body together. And let me tell you something. We need every person. And every one of you needs the others. You do not live the Christian life by yourself. You do not say, I can make it through Christian life. I do my own thing. You cannot. You need to look at the body of Christ and say, everyone is vital and important. I want you to see something. Hold your place in Romans 12 and just turn to Philippians chapter 2. So in your Bibles, you go toward the back to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. And look at Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see these verses. Take just a second. Turn back there and look at it. I want you to see how it fits together. We're going to start at verse 3. Philippians 2, we'll put verses 3 and 4 together because they go together. But here's the issue as you turn back there. How do we look at fellow believers in the body of Christ? Philippians 2, look at verse 3. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, what he says plainly is, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Don't look at things and say, what's in it for me? What can I do for me? What's best for me? But with humility of mind. That means being humble. Humility of mind, regard one another as more important than ourselves. So we live in a whole culture that says, what's in it for me? What do you got to offer me? A lot of people look at churches and say, what do you have to offer? I'll try to come. I might come if you got what I want, if it's convenient for me. That's how we look at the world, but the world is wrong. Remember, we don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed. And he says, look at the people in the body of Christ and say, in humility of mind, I want to see them how regard one another is more important than ourselves. We need to look at each one even in this room and say, everyone in this room is special and unique. And it's not what they can do for me. It's how God can use me to help one another. See, the whole thing about the body of Christ is we equip the believers to do the ministry, to build each other up. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. We must realize that all are special, unique. We're not better than others. We're all in this thing together, and we need each other. And I go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. In other words, don't be people of pride, be people of humility. And then he goes on to say, but to think so as to have sound judgment. He says, think correctly. Think what is right. And you know what that is? We're set apart by God. We've been gifted by God. We've been placed in the body of Christ to be used by God. And no one is more important than another. Do you realize some people think that people with upfront gifts are more important than people who have behind the scenes gifts? That's not true. We're going to see more next time that all the gifts are equal as far as importance. And you have to have all the gifts functioning so that the body can grow and develop. Everything is important. Every one is important. Humility, he says, stands out as we realize that God, in his grace, has saved us, gifted us, empowered us, placed us in the body. Every one is important. Not one is above another. Look how he ends the verse here. He says, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now, all that means is, and the word really is faithfulness there, God has allotted to each the aspect of the gift, the faithfulness. He's given to us spiritual gifts, and we'll see it as we go through the rest of the passage, that he's given to every one of us in this room gifts and abilities to serve within the body of Christ. So he says, listen, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you ought to look at others, think sound judgment. God has given to each one of us different gifts, powers, and abilities. His first statement is, don't be people of pride. Don't be people of pride, but realize all are important in the body of Christ and live in humility. Now, from here, he's going to explain how we function. Okay, now watch what he's going to say. He says, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, those two verses go together. Look what he says. And he's using the example of the body, the human body. He says, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members don't have the same function, it is true. You have many members in the body. You have one body, but you got eyes and ears and nose and fingers and toes and hands and the heart and everything. And all of these members function together, but they don't all have the same function. Now, you know that when something's not working right in your body, it affects the whole other part of your body. If you got something wrong with your toe and you're going, ow, my toe, I can't really walk. You say, what's wrong? Oh, it's just my toe. It doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. It affects everything. If it's your eye, it affects. If it's your ear, it affects. You know that there's a body and there are all kind of members in your body. That's what he's saying. And each one has different functions. Now, watch the next verse. So we, who are many, talking about the body of Christ, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. In the same way that the human body has one body with all the different members, in the same way there is the body of Christ, which has all the different members in the body of Christ, and that's you. And let me tell you something. Just like every part of the body must function for the body to work right, every member of the body of Christ must function for the body of Christ to work correctly. Now, I want to say something. There are people who do not think it matters whether they ever serve or whether they ever come. There are many people in the local body who never serve, and they think it doesn't matter. In fact, they actually think they're not needed. I want you to understand that whatever gifts, talents, and abilities you have, if you are not using those gifts, talents, and abilities in the local body to touch lives for Christ, this body cannot function or is not functioning in the way that it should. We have to have every one of you with your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. There are many believers, I don't mean this in a bad way, but there are many people who walk in and walk out. They never served in their lives. And one of the reasons is they don't know what their gifts are. Number two is they don't think it matters whether they serve or not. I want you to understand that if every believer connected with this local church would use their gifts, talents, and abilities, there is no telling what difference this local church could make beginning in this community and throughout the world. What are your gifts? What are your talents? What are your abilities? Where are you serving? How are you serving? Remember I said a while ago, when you teach through the Bible, you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to decide, are you going to use your gifts and are you going to serve? And are you going to serve within a local body? Remember I said a while ago, you can't serve by yourself. The body of Christ needs everyone and everyone needs each other. I want to read something to you just because of time. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but listen to what he says about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. In the same way that the human body has many members, but they're all one body, and the same thing in the body of Christ, there are many members, but they're one body." That's why Paul writes that the eye can't say, "I don't need the ear." And that's why he says, if everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be? Every one of us in this room who have different gifts, talents, and abilities, we're to use those for the glory of God. And if you're not using your gift, this body is not able to function in the way that it should. You are valuable, you are important, and you are needed. Listen to what he goes on to say. He said there should be no, this is in 1 Corinthians 12:25. There should be no division in the body, but then the members should have the same care for one another. That's humility. He goes on to say, if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one is honored, we're all honored. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of the body. One body, many members. Think about the local church. God has placed us in the body of Christ. All these members, we're all unique, we're all special, we're all different. We all have different functions. Each are important. If you are not serving, if you are not using your gifts, this body is not functioning the way that it should and it can. We need to look at each other in humility, saying all are vital, all are important. That's what he talks about. Now, from this, I want you to see what he's going to do. He's going to start in verses 6, 7, and 8, and he's going to talk about the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we have. And look what he says. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly. And then he begins to list them. Prophecy, and then he goes on in serving and teaching and exhortation and giving and mercy and leading and all of those things. He gives up some spiritual gifts. For the ministry to function, you must use your gifts. Now, let me be honest. Most believers, let's just face it, most believers, number one, not even sure what their gifts are. There are a lot of believers who've never even been taught about spiritual gifts, and they say, well, look, I've heard of spiritual gifts, but I don't know what they are, and I sure don't know what my gift is. One of the goals of this church, and when we have a membership training seminar in just a few minutes, when we get through with this, we start over and have a membership training seminar. And in that, we have a spiritual gift inventory we give out to all the people who join our church. And we say, take this spiritual gift inventory. It will give you an idea of what your gifts are so that you can look at the ministries of this local body and you can plug in based on the gifts that you have. That's vital. We're going to talk a lot more about spiritual gifts next week. So if you say, well, Jimmy, give me more information, we're going to get more next week on this whole idea of gifts. But let me do this as we get ready to get into this. And look at verse 6. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us has exercised those gifts. Before we think about that, we need to talk about what we are like in the body, each one of us. And I want you to understand something. We are all different. And we're all alike. And let me show you what I mean. Let's start with believers are different. We've got a handout overhead that says believers are different. Let me show you how we're different. First of all, we all have different strengths, abilities, and talents. Every one of us in this room are different. We're unique. Some people can sing. Some people can play. Some people do something else. Some people have leadership skills. Some people have mercy. There's all kinds of strengths, abilities, and talents. All unique. No two people are alike. And let me tell you something. You don't need to ever try to be like somebody else. There's never been anybody like you. There'll never be anybody else like you because God created you unique and special. You need to be like you. Nobody else like you. We all have different strengths, talents, and abilities. Second, we all have different spiritual gifts. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has been given spiritual gifts, we are unique. God has gifted every one of you in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ. We don't all have the same function. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, he says there are varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. There are a lot of different gifts. There are a lot of different ministries that you use those gifts in, and there are a lot of effects that come from the using the gifts and the ministries. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, we see that. So we're all different. All of us have different gifts. The third thing, we are all at different levels of growth and maturity. I want you to realize that. There are some people in this room that have been believers for years and they're mature. There are some people who are brand new believers. There are some people who are carnal. There are some people who are spiritual. There are some people who are mature. There are some people who are not mature. We're all at different levels. We're in a process. The Christian life is a process of becoming conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It is a never-ending process. You will never get to the point you say, I have arrived. You are growing to be more and more like Christ. So we're all at different levels of growth and maturity. We all have different abilities, strengths, and talents. We all have different gifts. We all are different levels of growth and maturity. Now, we're all different. We're also all alike. And let me show you how we're alike. All believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, not only have you been placed in the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us in this room who know Christ have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's the power to serve God. Second, we all have at least one spiritual gift for service. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each one is given the given gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, the whole idea that each one has been given a spiritual gift. So as a believer in this room, every one of you in this room who know Christ as Savior, you have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one gift. And you're to use those gifts for the glory of God. There's a third thing that we're all the same on. All believers' gifts are essential and important for service. It is true. All of the believers' gifts are important. If you think somehow that you don't, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter whether you serve, it doesn't matter whether you come, it doesn't matter whether you're ever involved, you're wrong. We have to have you. The body of Christ, it's just like the toe's not working and you're going, I can hardly walk. If one of you is not working, the body is going, I can hardly walk. We have to have you. Because God has chosen you in the sense that He set you apart. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And He says, I've placed you in the body of Christ. Now, use your gifts and talents and abilities to serve within the body. You're essential. So all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. All believers have at least one spiritual gift. And all believers' gifts are essential and important. We need each other. As he says in this passage, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, we all got different gifts, different things, then let's exercise those gifts. God wants you to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that he's given you. He wants you to exercise them within the body of Christ. We want you to touch lives, equipping the saints to do the ministry so the body can grow. Now, what we're going to do next time, not next week, because next week is Easter and we're going to be dealing with the resurrection of our Savior. But what we're going to do next time when we look back at Romans is we're going to look about spiritual gifts. Let me give you some questions we're going to look at. We're going to talk about what are spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about what are the different gifts. We're going to talk about what is a gift, and then how can we know what our spiritual gifts are, and how can we use our gifts within the body. Now, when you come and you study this, you're going to have to make decisions. What are you going to do with these truths? What have we seen this morning? In humility, we realize the importance of everyone, every believer in the body. There is one body with many members. All believers have different gifts, talents, and abilities to function within the church, and we're to use those gifts to serve God and to serve others. And with that in mind, let me give you some applications. First one is this: in humility, let us love and serve fellow believers. That's how we look. We realize that we're all special and unique. We should not have pride, but humility, humility of mind, as he says in Philippians, to look out for one another. We've all been created unique and special and gifted by God within the body. That's how we function and look at each other. Number two, understand how the body of Christ functions. One body, many members, and all do not have the same function. Based on the different gifts, talents, and abilities that you have, this is how we function, and all are needed. Let me tell you, you are important in the body of Christ. You're important in this church. We must and we need you to use your gifts to touch lives for Jesus Christ. That takes us to number three, and that is use your gifts to serve God and others. Whatever gifts, talents, and abilities you have, you're to use them for the glory of God. Now, you may say, I don't know enough yet. You just got onto this first time I've really got it. Well, don't worry. We're going to come over. We're going to talk about what gifts are and how can we know what our gifts are and how can we exercise those gifts within the body. That's the plan and the goal. In God's power, use your gifts to equip believers to build up the body of Christ. And so may we, in humility, use our spiritual gifts in the body to serve God and to serve others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this passage and truth there. Lord, we see each other in humility that you have put us all in the body of Christ. Each one is special and unique and gifted and different. And Lord, we just want to love one another and serve one another and realize how special we are. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ and how you've made one body but many members and you've put us all together with different gifts, talents, and abilities so that the ministry can be done. So Lord, I pray for each one in this room that we will know what our gifts are. We'll use our gifts to serve you and to serve others, that the body of Christ will be built up. Lord, thank you for this privilege of coming together with fellow believers. Use us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.